हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Sorry. So then, now continuing from Bhima's fighting with the Yaksha and Rakshasa guards of Kubera and having defeated many of them, and now having defeated the commander-in-chief, Maniman, then we continue. The sound of the battle had reached Yudhishthira. Hearing the mountain caves resound with loud war cries and other sounds, the Pandava and his brothers became anxious. They learned from Draupadi that Bhima had again gone up the mountain, right? Same mountain, right? Yudhishthira took the twins and quickly went after him. They ascended the mountain and came to the plateau where Bhima was standing. The Pandava stood looking like Indra after he had slain all the Danavas in battle. The dead bodies of the numerous Yakshas and Rakshasas surrounded him. Many others lay on the ground still moving, their limbs smashed by Bhima. Yudhishthira and the twins ran over to the brother, right? Couldn't see, because it said you can't go up farther from this, remember? And so now they've gone up also. But because it's a battle and they don't know, that's why Draupadi stayed down. So he would have stayed in Arishtasena's ashram. And no one's going to bother Arishtasena because those kinds of sages that are up there, their mantras and that are so powerful, even if they're attacked by the Yakshas, Rakshasas, just by their mantras, they'll get rid of them. Yudhishthira and the twins ran over to the brother and embraced him. The four Pandavas then sat down on the mountaintop, looking around at the celestial region. Yudhishthira said reprovingly, "O son of Kunti, there's no excuse for your actions here. One should never offend the king or the gods. We are living in Kuvera's domain, and you have surely given him offense by your rashness," right? So that whole kind of area down, so as we mentioned, where Aristasena's ashram is, that's kind of like basically the highest you could go, but it's still within Kuvera's region, you know, and then another region will be Indra, another one will be for Yama, another one will be for Varuna. And so they're living in his region, so that he's allowing to be there and protecting, as we also saw before. He said, yeah, you peacefully stay, you go back down to where you were, stay there. And then, you know, and they went from there to another place. And then, you know, so all from there, then it's all his region. So then it's not proper that you're staying in his place. Why are you going to bother his guards and all that? You know, I mean, they all are warriors, they had a nice fight and all that, but it's still, you know, why give any trouble? We are living in Kuvera's domain, and you have surely given him offense by your rashness. Such behavior is as unworthy of you as untruth is of the ascetics. Right? Because the ascetics will tell the truth, and the kshatriyas will act according to religious principles. If you have any regard for me, then do not commit such acts again, right? Because this is the second time. Bhima looked down in shame. It pained him to see his brothers so upset. Yudhishthira pondered what to do. Kuvera was the powerful lord of the Yakshas and a universal guardian. But he sits in the local mountains around the Bhumandala, and he sits on the northern side. If he had taken offense, then their position would be precarious indeed. They could not avoid the all-knowing god, and there was no question of facing him in battle. Better they tried to pacify him in some way. No doubt he would make his appearance to survey the damage. The four Pandavas sat in silence, looking themselves like gods descended to the mountain. So they also look like gods because they are, you know, the demigods are greatly powerful because they've been empowered by the Lord to do the Lord's work. But they themselves generally tend to be neophyte devotees that are devoted to the Lord, but at the same time as they have, you know, their material kind of inclinations. They're fascinated by the material facilities. While the pure devotees, like Yudhishthira and them, Uttamadikaris, they don't have such fascination. They just see how nicely Krishna's arranged everything. But it doesn't have any other purpose. And so then their position, actually, their piety is much greater. But, you know, as we said, playing the part of humans, then they're going to, follow the rules, according to their position. In the meantime, the defeated Yaksha and Rakshasa's soldiers had run to Kunvera and informed him of what had occurred. Hearing that his commander and friend Maniman had been killed, along with numerous other fighters, the god became angry. Right? Just the guards, but Maniman was his friend. That's why he was the commander. He then ordered his attendants to yoke his chariot. Kunvera's servants immediately fetched his chariot drawn by 100 horses, the color of dark clouds, each adorned with golden garlands and gems. The horses neighed loudly and moved their heads upward as the divine Kunvera ascended the chariot. Eulogized by Gandharvas, right? So they weren't going down like this. They were, like this. So they're ready to go. Because when they're down, it's like they're getting the mood. But when they're up, then it's ready. The divine Kunvera ascended the chariot, eulogized by Gandharvas and Charanas. 1,000 principal yakshas, looking like so many mountains, wearing gold armor and equipped with weapons, followed Kunvera as his chariot moved off through the skies. And so these are principal ones. They may not have been the ones on the battlefield, because Maniman was taking care of that. They would have been, in his entourage. The celestial chariot seemed to swallow up the atmosphere and draw down the skies that ranged across the firmament. As he traveled, the Lord of Wealth pondered Bhima's second assault on the celestials. How dare this human act so insolently towards the gods? But Bhima, of course, was no ordinary human. He was Yudhishthira's brother, and Yudhishthira was Dharmaraj himself. He and his brothers had taken birth only to fulfill the god's purposes. Kunvera then recalled a curse uttered long ago by the powerful Rishi Agastya. Of course, how else could the mighty Maniman have been killed? Bhima had become the instrument of Agastya's imprecation. Kunvera's frown changed to a smile as he approached the summit where the Pandavas were seated, right? Because Maniman had been cursed by Agastya Rishi. He must have done something, that he would be killed probably by a human or something. And so then here's how it happened. So it was ordained by fate that this would have happened. And Bhima just was the instrument. The Pandavas saw the celestial chariot approach. Their hair stood on end. And they rose quickly with folded palms to greet Kunvera. The chariot stayed in the air near the Pandavas, who stood looking apprehensively upward. Right, because he lands and puts down, but because he's the god, and he's the one, it's his place, he's the one that's been offended, he's the one that's, he has to, establish his position, so he stayed up in the air a bit, just to give that proper, mood. The yakshas who accompanied Kunvera alighted on the mountain summit like so many birds, right, so then they all sat around nicely. Seeing the brothers looking across at him with reverence, Kunvera was pleased, right? So you know that they're in there with anger and this, but they're very reverential because, here's Kunvera, one of the Lord's great servants. The Yaksha warriors saw Kuvera's mood and stood with indifference, their weapons lowered, right? Because if Kunvera had been angry, they would have still been there ready for fight, but because they saw he was, pleasant and all that, then they just go into their neutral state because it's not that they're there, because they're assistants. If they're personal associates, then they might show the mood of being pleased. But otherwise, their business is indifference. It's like, Kunvera will interact with them how they like. They're at the ready. The four brothers approached Kunvera and bowed before him. Thousands of Rakshasas with huge bodily structures and ears like javelins. Right? It means very pointy. Then approached and surrounded Kunvera. Kunvera appeared like a fresh youth. He wore a chaplet and garlands of celestial flowers. In his hands he held a noose and a sword. A large bow hung over his shoulder. Bhima, still clutching his mace, gazed at him without fear. Kunvera smiled at him. Then he turned to Yudhishthira and said, right, because he wasn't angry, but he wasn't fearful, So he's just that neutral, So he's ready for whatever needs to be done. Kunvera smiled at him, then he turned to Yudhishthira and said, O Partha, we are well aware that you are always thinking of the welfare of all creatures. Therefore, dwell on this mountain peak without fear, right? Because he knows you have the right attitude, so you should dwell here. Nor should you be angry towards Bhima. His killing of the Yakshas and Rakshasas has been ordained by destiny. Indeed, realizing this, I have become pleased with Bhima rather than angry. Right, because until he remembered that, he was angry. Because this is the second time. But then he remembered, no, this was ordained. Guvera looked at Bhima and said with a smile, "Oh child, best of the Kurus, I am not angry with you. Put down your weapons. For Draupadi's pleasure, you have acted rashly and disregarded the gods, relying only on the strength of your arms. Nevertheless, I am pleased with you. Today you have delivered me from Agastya's terrible curse. That you should insult me in this way was foreordained. Therefore, I attach no blame to you." So he was supposed to, he was supposed to get some reaction, and Maniman's supposed to get some reaction. So in this way, it all worked out. Yudhishthira's curiosity was aroused, and he asked Kuvera to explain the curse. "I am surprised that I have been that having angered the glorious Agastya, you were not immediately burnt to ashes." Kuvera told Yudhishthira how he had since been traveling through the skies, towards Kushavati, when a assembly of the gods was to take place. Hundreds of thousands of yakshasas accompanied him, headed by Maniman, right? So this is where, we see things coming into play. As they crossed the Jamuna River, they saw the effulgent Agastya sitting on his banks, practicing asceticism. Out of sheer arrogance and foolishness, Maniman spat on his head. Kuvira immediately went before the rishi to apologize, but Agastya was burning with anger and uttered a curse. "Since this evil-minded one has insulted me in your presence, he will meet with his end along with his forces at the hands of a man." Right? Because for demigods to be defeated by a man, it's not very glorious. "You shall be grieved by this, but you shall be absolved of the sin when you see that man." Right? So he'll be grieved and he'll become angry. But we see the sin will be absolved when he sees the man, and that man's Bhima. Right? And because Maniman was his assistant, therefore the blame falls on Kuvera. Though Kuvera didn't instigate him to do it, so in that way it's not directly his, but he does get blamed, he has responsibility. But you will see it directly falls on Maniman. That he'll be the one that's killed along with his army that he's so proud of, like that. But Kuvera will feel bad about this, and he'll get some reaction also. But now seeing Bhima, Kuvera said that having seen Bhima, he was now free from Agastya's curse. He invited Yudhishthira to remain for some days in his abode on the mountain summit, and he gave the Pandavas news of Arjuna in heaven, saying he would soon be returning. Turning again to Bhima, he said, "Yudhishthira, you should ensure that this brother of yours does not give away to rashness too often." Right? Not, it shouldn't be a regular thing because it's happened twice now. "If you do not check his impetuosity, it will sooner or later bring you trouble." Because right now it didn't somehow or another, by the arrangement. But at some point it will bring you trouble. So don't push it. That he's got away with it the once, but this is only because of that. But now he's been warned. Bhima lowered his weapons and bowed before Kuvera, who then blessed him. "May you destroy the pride of your enemies and enhance the joy of your friends." Right? Because that's the whole point in all these Kshatriya dealings, the chivalrous, is that those who are dear to you, they'll be pleased and happy. And those who are inimical towards you, then their prowess will go down. Kuvera took his leave from the Pandavas as a chariot carried him high into the sky. His yaksha and rakshasa attendants followed him, some flying and others riding conveyances, covered with finely embroidered cushions and adorned with gems. Right, so the yakshas, they could either fly on their own power or they could sit in something and fly, as pleased them or as befitted their position. The bodies of the warriors Bhima had slain were removed, and the five brothers stayed on the mountaintop, served and honored by the yakshas. Right, because they saw that he was there, and this cleared them of the curse. Now they were free, and it's Yudhishthira. Everyone knows Yudhishthira like that. Chapter 29. Arjuna returns. Although offered every kind of enjoyable thing by the celestial hosts on Gandamandana, the Pandavas thought only of Arjuna. They could not wait to see him again, and the days passed slowly as they expected his return at any moment. So even though they had the best of whatever you can get, still their thoughts were on Arjuna, not, "Wow, this is so good, woo, check this out." They weren't doing that. It was that they were pleased. you know, it's Krishna's arrangement. Kuvera is taken care of very nicely as a host, but still, they're not infatuated. They're worried about, you know, Arjuna, right? Because then their relationship and all that. So the association of the pure devotees is the most desired thing. The Yakshas brought Domya and Draupadi to the Mount Summit to be with the Pandavas and to greet Arjuna when he arrived. So instead of them having to go back down and bring, because it's so difficult for them to go, because it said ordinary people couldn't go. And so then the Yakshas went down and brought Domya and Draupadi. Right? So they were down there in Arishtasena's ashram. On the seventh day from the battle, the Pandavas saw in the sky Indra's brilliant chariot approaching the mountain, resembling a meteor emerging from the clouds. Upon it, they saw Arjuna seated like Indra himself. He wore glowing silk robes, was adorned with celestial ornaments and garlands, and a brilliantly jeweled cornet bedecked his head, right? Because he's staying there with his father, so naturally he's going to wear celestial clothes and be ornamented and dressed as such. And so he's coming from there. And when he comes back down, then we'll see how he behaves. The Pandava stood to receive him. They all felt the greatest happiness as the chariot slowly descended, drawn by his 10,000 steeds. So you can imagine, it's a very special sight. 10,000 horses, all, you know, in these lines, you know, in two or in four or however many there are. If it's 10,000, that's 2,500 in line, or five. If it's two, it's 5,000 in line. It's a very, you know, amazing chariot. And it's not like a little dinky chariot with all these. It's a very big chariot also. As it reached the ground, Arjuna got down and bowed at Domya's feet, then at Yudhishthira's and Bhima's. Twins then bowed to him, and he greeted Draupadi with gentle words. He handed her a number of celestial gems, like of sun-like splendor that Indra had given him. Right, you know, because he's going back, you have to bring something back for the wife. So that's the general thing, is that when the husband goes out somewhere, wherever he goes, then it should be something that's something special and unique from the place. Even if it's, you know, something, it doesn't have to be even so significant. But it just should be, you know, something well thought out and something nice that's brought back. Because that means even though you've gone to this other place, you didn't forget. You know, it's an important thing. Not, oh, I went for work and all that, so I don't think of these things. No, you went for work, but you can still think about these things. And so Indra had given him some special gems and all that. And so then he brought those and gave those to Draupadi. So you see, each one was different. So he came back from heaven. It could be, no, I'm the big guy now. But no, he immediately, first to Domya, because he's the priest. Then Yudhishthira, and then Bhima, and then the twins. He said something very nice to Draupadi, and then gave her the gifts. Yudhishthira also greeted and worshipped Matali as if he were Indra himself. He inquired from him about the god's welfare. Matali spoke affectionately to the Pandavas, as a father might speak to his sons. Then he ascended the chariot and returned to Amaravati. Right, so, you know, yeah, how he spoke and everything like that, as you can see, is that Yudhishthira is so qualified. I mean, here is the third brother that went to the heavens, came back, because he's, you know, Arjuna is Indra's son, but, you know, Yudhishthira is Yamaraj's son, and then Vayu's son, and then the Ashwini. So they're also like the gods. And so then, you know, they're in a nice thing. But, you know, he being in his position serving Indra, then he'll be in that way seen in a senior position like that. But just because he's in the senior position, that's how you deal in etiquette. But let's say if they went to see Indra, then they would be given the fancy seats, not Matali. Right? He's the charioteer. But at the same time as them as humans and all that, then, you know, he has that senior thing because he is the charioteer of the god, of Indra. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so we'll stop here and then continue with the further conversations. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.